up? What's up, people? Welcome back to another episode of Transcending Explorations. Thank you for being here, for tuning in, for showing up. As always, I love and appreciate you guys immensely. Thank you. If you love the show, you can support it by leaving a like, a rating on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen or watch to this podcast. Drop me your feedback and all that good stuff as well. And if you really obtain some high quality value from the podcast, then I have a virtual tip jar or a value for value model or a donation page, whatever you want to call it. If you want to actualize the value you perceived you received, you can. And that is a great way to also help support the podcast and help your boy out a little bit so we can continue doing this amazing podcast and make some upgrades to it as well, which does take some financial investment. So if you guys do really love this show, then there's a multitude of different ways you can support me. In today's episode, I reconnected with Matt Landman to do our monthly podcast. This time, we talked all things gardening, soil, plants, nature, why you should be considering starting your own garden, and why you should be supporting local organic farmers. We get into the many different modalities and things that you can be integrating into your garden, from feng shui to biogeometry, and you know, looking at the geometry of your garden beds and the water quality and the influence non-native electromagnetic radiation has on plant growth and insect health, and the importance of bees and creating habitats for wildlife, which are your natural insecticides and pesticides, and everything that's wrong with genetic modification and Roundup and glyphosate and all the terrible things that Big Ag is spraying and doing to the plant kingdom, and the fact that, you know, they're also killing everything in the environment at the same time. We also talk about the purpose of weeds and how they are your report card for what's going on in the soil, why planting native is a smart thing to do, and the importance of just randomly planting trees and plants out in the wild. There's so many cool, interesting, and valuable things in this conversation around gardening. A lot of tools and methods that you can integrate into your garden today. But most importantly, I think the overall message is to reconnect with nature, to reconnect with this extension of ourselves. I mean, nature is our body. There is no separation. So to just bring ourselves back in to balance is, I think, a core driving point of this exploration. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this and get a ton of value out of it. Again, if you do, appreciate your support in whatever way you feel called to support this podcast. And let's jump into this exploration with Matt Landman. Matt Landman, welcome back to Transcendent Explorations, mate. Always good to connect with you, as we've been doing these monthly at the moment. So always look forward to catching up with you.
Me too. And you as well. You're always just waking up, and it's mid-afternoon for me. I'm happy to get you in that early state while your mind is nice and clear. Yes. Good morning, brother. Is it Friday or Saturday for you there?
It is Saturday. Saturday.
That's wild. Saturn day. Oh, I could talk about Saturn forever. that like every single car company is like a Saturn
connected,
like,
to Saturn
worship. Yes. Yeah. It's something else. So we're all forced to like drive the cars and stuff. But today I'm excited about our topic. So you and I are seemingly really awesome people. I mean, I feel like that we're genuine, and like we like to speak to people's hearts and souls. Mm-hmm. And it's not always gloom and doom or conspiracy or even truth, we can call it, but it still seems to be like not everyone's cup of tea. But I think the topic today is could be anyone's cup of tea, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I think it should be everyone's cup of tea, because we're really talking about what we'll get to, and there's many things within this, but I guess overall what we're talking about is gardening and plants and soil and all this beautiful thing. And just to round out what I was going to say there is, like, why it should be people's focus is because I see nature as an extension of us. It's just like the environment is our body, right? Just like I'm inhabiting this physical body, I'm also inside of my house, which I would also see as my body. And I could continue to expand that out into nature. And if you want, we could take the cosmos as well as our entire body. But this is us, you know, we're basically overall talking about reconnecting to a part of ourselves that we've come so far away from. You know, like, Matt, I don't necessarily think humans are broken or that there's anything wrong with them in a way. I just think we've strayed so far away from our center. We've just strayed so far away from living naturally that it can seem like it's broken. But I think if we can just come back into the balance, and one of that being a connection with nature, you know, it's a big bulk of the transformation that we need to go through. You reckon?
Not everything in life has to be tech, and it is becoming so pervasive that everything is technologically driven. I mean, our communication, our media, our source of information. I mean, everybody seems to have a smartphone in their back pocket without any consciousness of what that might do to them. Even it's all, I think the most important thing we could do right now as a species is disconnect and get grounded and in touch with the opposite of fear, which is love. And farming and plants and all that falls in that category. So when you mentioned earlier, like finding yourself and how we're all divided, I've been on this trip recently after watching this recent movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yep. And the symbology in it and the weird disclosure and whatever the truth really is, I do feel this is what I think might be going on. And getting grounded and centered is the solution. And I'll get to that. I love the ideas of the plants. So what I think might be going on after giving it some recent meditation is we are very powerful spiritual beings, and we have like a higher self that's incarnating in this physical plane right now where we're at this existence. But in order for us to be like dismantled because we're so powerful, there's fractals of our existence here, fractals of this reality. Okay. So we're this like omnipotent, like powerful being, and we actually project reality. We input media and we have a collective conscious like creation of through the holographic reality. Like we help project it. We don't realize our true power because we're dismantled. Right. So part of the dismantling, I feel, is to have our higher self working all these simultaneous realities. Actually, that's how powerful we are. So we're working all these different, because we don't really recognize necessarily which mirror is the real one, and we're just playing it out. And that's part of the hologram. Part of the holographic world that we live in is like, okay, here's your karmic reality. How's it going to work? And we'll work with, you know, how you act, and you'll get a life accordingly. But there's actually seemingly infinite. It might not be infinite, but there's a lot of different directions you could have taken your life. And it's not just like random, oh, he made that decision, he's a good person, he'll go to heaven or whatever. The hologram wants to run it through the simulation every which way to make sure you're really that good person, or who you really are, or whatever it is. So there's these fractals of every choice that you make, and it'll either like weigh you down or lift you up. You know, if there's these other potentialities where you make these other decisions because maybe you aren't that high of a vibratory being, or you do or you don't, you know, it lifts you up. But I think, or doesn't, or drags you down. But part of the program is the fractaling of our power. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing, just like everything else, knowing that the fluoride is bad, it's empowering. You know the fluoride is bad, you don't get any toothpaste. You know, there's all these things that empower you in the end. I think the knowledge is very empowering, because ultimately what we want to do is collapse all of those into now, the now, and do everything to like together and not be fractaled up and dismantled and whatnot. And then we have our true power, and that's where the real spiritual war begins, because we have a battle going on right now where we're in a spiritual war, but we don't even know it hardly. Yeah. And we're disarmed. We're disarmed. Like our true spiritual nature and our true powers are disarmed. But once that disarmament is lifted or whatever, we will get to certainly fight back the way that we should be able to and deserve that. And, and it'll be grounding to not just be all splintered.
Right.
And
that's it.
Just a theory.
That's fascinating. I'll just make a quick comment on that, and we can segue into plants and everything else within gardening. You know, when you said that, you know, we're kind of fractured out or split out over these, you know, multiple different lifetimes, however many that is, and then you said we got to collapse it, I couldn't help but think of what's the quantum physics principle I'm thinking of the observer effect, and like how you have superposition, you know, which is basically a particle that's in an infinitude of states, right? It's fractured out, it's split out, but it takes conscious intention to then collapse that infinitude of potentialities down into an actual physical particle or whatever it is that you're observing. So I just can't help but intertwine, obviously, how important consciousness is. And I guess what drives consciousness is kind of intention. So like, you know, being super present, living intentionally, you know, all the things that come with being intentional. But yeah, any thoughts on that?
I'm not sure that much anything exists until we acknowledge its existence. Like we are the creators much more than we could fathom.
Yeah.
Like if you ever wake up really, really, really haggard and tired and you look yourself in the mirror, oftentimes you'll be like, who is that? And then you're like, oh, okay, there I am. Weird, you know?
Mm.
It's almost like we are flexible in like what we project, what we are, and what even we project what the universe is. But one thing that I know is like solid that we can like really grasp and get our sink our teeth into and our hands is nature. It's yeah. Just like we are beings of nature. The whole, every single conspiracy that we can line up or whatever you want to call it, truth or attack on humanity, all these things, every little bit of it, it comes down to dismantling us from our natural being. And it's like tech and toxins and a diversion from what is right. Real. And if you, like, for instance, like fear, there's so much fear about what do you want to, anything. There's everything is out there. Fear of a food supply shortage. And that if you know how abundant Mother Nature is, you can go somewhere and gorilla farm. Literally, like people that can't identify plants won't even know that that's a field of potatoes. You can have your potatoes just like growing. I'm just saying people do it. It exists. It's not that hard to set up a garden or make it happen no matter where you live. So I want to bring up some things that I've learned only recently that I think people should know. And part of it is like, I went through public education system, you know, and I went to college and I went to grad school, even got a master's degree. And I figured I learned so many things, and I didn't, all I learned, which I'm learning now, I'm realizing all I learned was to not be a free thinker and to be like not able to think for myself. I think what I'm told to think, I get these inputs. So it's like Can you imagine you get out of high school and you don't even know how to work a cash register? And that's like the majority of the jobs out there. Like, you think that you should at least learn how to do that or something. I mean, it's just mind boggling. I realized that when I first got out of high school, and I still have this slight trauma, but not as much. When I first got out of high school, and it's like a prison setting. And when you're in your collective and you can hardly interact with your neighbor, but during lunch, it's like this amazing thing where everyone comes together and you have this community of friends where you're like doing lunch. For me, lunch in high school was like fun and everyone was able to like do it together, whatever. So when I got out of high school, I was like, I've been analyzing this. I could hardly just go eat by myself. I was like that disabled to function in normal society that I couldn't even freaking eat by myself, let alone like support myself and raise a family or something like that. I knew like the 45th president, and like I knew how like stupid this and that, and Pythagorean theorem and the hydrological system, and you know, all these different stupid things I learned that got me nowhere. Calculus, you know, so
algebra.
One thing that we should have been learning and we didn't learn is, well, for one, anatomy. Holy jeez, come on. Like, why should we know anatomy? Because duh, look in the mirror, you are it. And then like I never even took home ec because I was supposed to like lame, so I took shop. But it'd be nice if I had learned how to cook, because I only now, like at the age of 40,
that was a skill I was blessed with. My mom was like, she dreamed of being a chef, and like she was always cooking. So I was kind of blessed in that regard to learn how to cook at like 16, 17, because I ended up moving out at 18. So it was kind of like set up for me. But an underrated skill.
If you're really connected to your food, you start to see it a different way and you honor it, and then you learn how to make soups and cook, and it's not like you got to drop money every time to go to a restaurant. It's like you're scrapping things together from something in your grass field. I've always analyzed just the grass yards, because in the US, I don't know if it's like it over there, like in the suburbs, it's like pristine grass, and the way that they line up in a row, it's like they're all like drone like people, like they're all the same, lined up like in a military, like they're all lined up like military, basically, like all the same, shaved head. Like, why wouldn't someone have a freaking fruit tree or something?
Yo.
It's like green, straight, like military, like prison status. So if you're grounded and you're growing food, which I never learned in the suburbs that I grew up in, how to grow anything. And what was fascinating, and I'm sure I've talked to you about this, because this is like one of the things I say all the time, is potatoes grow potatoes. That was like one of the things
I because you ended up on a farm at some stage, right? And you come to all these realizations.
That was something that just blew my mind, that we should have learned this in school. Come on, like kindergarten, just tell me that, give me a break. There should have been a book titled that, even, or song, or give me a break. Mm-hmm. So one thing recently that I thought was fascinating that hardly anybody knows is you know what, and I probably even talked to you about this, you know what the seeds of a cilantro plant are, right?
No.
Do you call them coriander over there?
We call them coriander, yeah.
Coriander is a spice.
Yeah.
And it's in a lot of people's houses, in their kitchen, coriander. And that little seed that you grind up or put in your rice or whatever, it's coriander. It's awesome on all sorts of things. That, if you put it in the ground, will grow you cilantro. And then the cilantro will go to seed at the end of the year after you plucked off of it. And by the end of the year, when it goes to seed, it produces all these seeds. Some of them go in the ground to make you more plants, and some of them you take inside and you've got coriander. The fact that there's this disconnect between cilantro and coriander, that I got a freaking master's degree, I was even living in an agriculture community, like, it was all just like a pay, like I was literally just paying the government or getting student loans and not paying the government. But whatever I was doing, it was just like this enslavement of nonsense, not learning real world, not even skills. This is just common sense.
Yeah.
I've talked to adults that don't realize that you can get a seed from a plant at the grocery store, like from a pepper or like a pumpkin, and make make plant go, you know, from that. Yeah. Electrolytes make plants grow. You seen that movie?
No.
You seen Idiocracy?
No, I have not.
No, man, if you watch. So have you ever, I know that you like have talked about psychedelics, and the first time that we ever spoke, you brought that up, I believe, which was cool. And it caught me off guard because not everyone asked me about my psychedelic experiences and all that. But I think it's cool to recognize that there's plant medicine out there, from cactus to vines, mushrooms,
leaves.
And cannabis. And one reason why I want to give a little discussion to cannabis as a little, as we segue from cilantro, and I want to talk about your mom's cooking too.
Yeah, sure.
Seriously, I do. Well, does Australia have, we don't have anything, but do y'all have any like cultural, or is it just like hot dogs and what's an Australian restaurant? Is it Outback Steakhouse? I worked at one of those, you know?
Pretty much. McDonald's. I mean, like most people still, you know, McDonald's drive-throughs are out the window. Now, majority of the culture is brought in from like the Indians and the Chinese and the Greeks, you know. So
yeah,
we have a lot of
pot.
Yeah, we have like a lot of the food trucks and things that pop up that I love to go to because I'm all about, I'm, you know, obviously a big foodie. but yeah, I mean, you know, the Sunday barbecue. Maybe the most Australian cultural.
Yeah, barbecue. Yeah, barbecue. Shrimp on the barbie.
Shrimp on the barbie. And all that. Sausages and steak. And they're big meat eaters, Aussies.
Right on. That's so cool. So I've where I've lived recently in the past, let's just say decade now, wow, or more, I've lived in communities that are farm communities that are really opportune for growing cannabis. I don't know about you. I know you know live in the city, but I've been able to work on cannabis farms and learn a lot about growing cannabis.
Amazing.
And it's been something else. But what's weird and scary is that California legalized, and they put this like law in place that tobacco companies like Marlboro and all them, they can't come into the industry until January 2023. So January, this coming January. So come January, there will be like a whole new thing going on in the United States where like the states that are legal are getting Marlboro weed. So it'll be like Marlboro like is probably going to destroy the small farmer by plummeting the prices by like having like million acre greenhouses and like immigrant workers and all that, like how they would do. But also my biggest concern is they're going to mess with the genetics.
Yeah.
Genetics are really important and fascinating. And the more that I learn about cannabis, the more that I learn the feel that like the plant is actually here for humanity. It's like this plant like serves humans. It's really something. It smells like candy, has all these different types and flavors and all these different phenotypes or different genetics of plants and then phenotypes thereof and all these. It's just, and
it can be used for materials as well. I mean, we could build cards out of hemp.
Mm-hmm. We just legalized hemp in the state that I'm in. They just legalized hemp, and that's been something. That's something else. The legalization of hemp is something too, and it's a beautiful plant, and it looks just the same. I didn't realize they look identical, the cannabis plant. And once you learn about the life cycle of the plant and that it just makes these beautiful flowers to be able to spread itself around. It wants to be picked up. It wants to be moved around to be able to spread itself around the planet. And whether it's a bear or a deer or a human, like getting this beautiful flower and moving it around, the seeds get spread around and it does its thing. So what's so fascinating are the different properties that are being broken down from the different strains of it. And only just now has research been surfacing about the cannabinoids. And basically, it's like everyone used to think that THC was like the home hitter, home run hitter for like the
so many things
for the changing of the brain and like what it does to the brain. But the recent learnings of CBD have gotten like kind of overboard, and like people think the CBD is now like the thing, and you get the CBD stuff that's like a CBD strain plants. That what's really fascinating is like anybody can become a breeder, and you can just start crossing genetics and working things out and finding things. And too many crosses make like a weaker plant. Like these older like heirloom strains are being lost by this marbles coming in, but these things that are still out there, like these older strains, they are like proof in the pudding because they don't have to deal with all of the different pests and stuff because the genetics are tight and there's strength in that, in like not mix matching all of the different genetics. But what people are learning recently about CBD is it needs to also be activated. So there's these new strains that are coming out that have the same percentage of CBD and THC, and that's what they're learning. It has to be 1-to-1 ratio, and then it activates it. And then there's different types of THC, A and B, and these different terpenoids, these different terpenes that do different things. But they're finding that they can find ways to activate the CBD that does all sorts of healing properties for the whole endocannabinoid system, which is throughout your body, right. Which can do anti-inflammation and anti-carcinogen cancer and inflammation of the brain can be healed mm-hmm. and protected. And also like the damages from EMF fields, supposedly I've been reading research on that, which is super fascinating. So in that, working on cannabis farms, I learned about pest control and problem like dealing with your problems as a farmer has been like a really cool eye-opening experience for me. And there's always a workaround. You never have to use poison. You can be organic.
Yes.
No matter what. And it's easy. You just need to be like not lazy. Basically, like you don't, like there's two ways to think. You take authority as truth, meaning you're told how to think, or you take truth as the authority, meaning you think for yourself. And you're like, well, they said this, but I'm going to do the research here. And as a farmer, you learn. Like every year is different as a farmer. Every single year, things are different. The rain is different. The conditions are different. The pests are different, all the way down to like the mold and everything. So with cannabis, it's actually pretty neat because it's very limited, the different things that you end up dealing with. There's powdery mildew, which is like this mildew looking powdery. It ends up being mildew fungus that gets on the plant, on the leaves at first. And what's fascinating about that is the best workaround is a healthy plant. So if it's grown up from the get-go with good health and they're a strong plant, it won't end up having that. Mm. But then when it does have that, there's different things that you can do, which is fascinating, which is like sulfur, like just the straight, just sulfur alone will like get it to the point where it's null. Like what's fascinating is it's just like the human body. We have a balance. And if our balance goes out of whack, then we get sick. But we have all the goodies and the baddies all over us all the time, inside and out, on our skin, in our system. And it's always just this balance running. And so on a plant and on any plant, so I'm going to segue into not just weed, don't worry. So for the listeners. So what's fascinating with cannabis is, so you got powdery mildew, you got fungus gnats, mm-hmm. which these fungus gnats, they like are the little bugs that grow in the soil. So soil maintenance and having these healthy soils is like a way to get rid of these fungus gnats. But sometimes they like come in the soil, and the best way to get rid of them is diatomaceous earth, because it like shreds, it messes them up. And there's also like bentonite clay and stuff like that, but there's really natural ways to like alleviate these things. And this is just like these gnats that are like coming out of your dirt because their larva was in there, and they'll attack the plant, but you can attack them really easily, and you can see it happening if you know what you're dealing with. So there's also, in the end, there's aphids, and aphids is just, you have a balanced ecosystem. You can get rid of them, praying mantis and anything outside. As long as it's like a balanced world where you haven't killed everything off, permaculture kind of thing, because I want to talk about permaculture.
Yeah, we can get into
that. Yeah. So if it's balanced, then you don't have to worry about all these things. And if the plants are healthy, you don't have to worry about the bud rot. And if you do it right. And lastly, there's these things called spider mites, which there's different types of spider mites. And there's these new ones that are like immune to everything called russet mites. And I've talked to farmers that have witnessed chemtrail like planes spraying these like weird with a membrane, like a bubble thing, like a spray with a membrane. And then the membrane like breaks. And it looks like they swear that this new type of mite came from just these planes.
God,
but there's
damn.
this crazy thing called spider mites. And what the spider mites do is they're microscopic and totally invisible. So you don't really know you have them until the very end of the season. And then they create all these webs in your buds and totally ruin all of your crop because they've gotten out of control. So you can keep them in check by having like a healthy plant. And that's like the best way to do it. You have to make sure that they don't get there, because if they get crazy, it gets like there's only certain ways around it. Like,
yeah.
And people resort to spraying poison on their plant. And if you just done it smart from the get go, then you wouldn't have to spray poison. So what people don't grasp about a lot of things is the real difference between like what even is GMO, what even is organic, and why they should like shop accordingly, or does it even impact them, and all of this. And no one does the research like you and I, especially, I mean, you have people on all the time and you got to come up with questions and this. And I'm like, I mean, people like you and me are few and far between in like the random grocery store.
Yeah.
But I watched a video ages ago.
Yeah.
And it's this kid doing a science experiment of a sweet potato, and he sticks it in the water halfway, you know, and one's organic and one's GMO, and the organic one grows like all this like green sprouts, like really big time lapse, you know, over a couple of weeks, like huge. The GMO one doesn't grow at all. And GMO is like a confusion tactic, just like everything else. Genetically modified organism. Oh, I don't even know what that is. I'll just pass the buck to the genetic modifier, the engineer, because I'm like, whatever. And I'll just eat what's on the shelf, and it's regulated by the FDA. And I, you know, who am I to do all this research, is what the normal person would say. But here's what it is. They genetically tweak that plant so that it can withstand getting bombarded with some toxin, probably glyphosate or some other toxic thing that would otherwise kill the plant. Like, so they're hit with a poison really hard that you don't want in your system. That's the thing. It's not about like, they want to confuse you, and they want to even hit you with confusing information. And it'll be like this. They'll say GMO is safe. The genes have been altered, but eating GMO foods don't alter your genes, because like they'll like confuse it. They'll confuse it. They'll be like, oh, it's like this strawberry got crossed with a lobster or something, but don't worry, bloody blah. But they're not even saying the big elephant in the room, in my opinion, which is it got sprayed with Roundup glyphosate, which is highly toxic.
Rounds and rounds of Roundup, like not just one time, as you're saying, like the genetic modification allows it to be layered on, and just they keep on spraying it. And then obviously you have plants that end up building their own chemicals that are resistant to it, right? So even if you eat that plant, it begins to manufacture the pesticides inside of itself, right? So it's a lose-lose situation when you're eating something that's so heavily genetically modified.
Amen to that. So I've been researching Philip Callahan, and he's so anti-pesticides. It's amazing. I highly recommend the book Paramagnetism. And what he talks about that's especially fascinating is that you need weeds.
Yes.
They pull the energy, they pull the nutrients up because they go deep in the soil and pull the nutrients up for the other plants. And he talks about why pesticides are so bad. And one reason why pesticides are bad is when a plant is stressed out, okay, that one plant will signal, I'm stressed out, I'm dying over here, come eat me. And that one plant will get like the pests and the other plants will be cool. It's like nature's design. But they stress all the plants out and they don't even work with nature's design. Nature is like this perfect design. I just learned about tobacco plants. Oh my gosh, tobacco plants are so cool.
Check this out. I got a tobacco plant out in my backyard, a grandfather tobacco growing. It's got an amazing energy coming off it. It's beautiful.
So I don't know if it's all tobacco plants or certain tobacco plants, but we can research this afterwards, which I loved our bird discussion because it got people thinking about the birds locally in there, versus all the different birds everywhere and all that stuff. Because there's what we don't think about or know in our myopic learning is there's varieties of everything. I literally thought there were like 4 or 5 different types of apples. No more could there be. How could there be? Like one type of orange, one type of lemon, you know? I never even, that the concept of varieties to me, like hundreds, if not thousands and this and that, like the fact that there's tens of thousands of types of apples, that blew my adult mind who thought it knew everything. So that's something. That's something in and of itself.
Can I just make a quick comment on that?
Please do.
There's an interesting thing that Paul Check shares where, Jamie Oliver, the UK chef, he went around to schools and he had these little cards, right? And on one deck of cards, he had corporate symbols. On the other deck of cards, he had common vegetables and farm animals. The kids knew more of the corporate symbols than they did any of the farm animals and vegetables. So it's like,
of course,
it's not shocking, you know, when you say, I didn't know there was this much variety. Kids don't even know broccoli exists. You know, they know Macca's and KFC and all these other companies exist, but they have no idea that all these natural things even exist in their reality. It's kind of wild.
Indeed. Yeah. No kidding. It's staggering, really. So the tobacco plant, it will, when a pest comes to eat it, it will tag the pest. It will hit that pest with a enzyme that lets bigger pests know that it's here.
Aha.
And then the big pest comes and eats it.
Mm.
Right? So there's all these designs in nature that are built in that if you just build like a symbiotic environment, which is what permaculture does, permaculture embraces everything. And then you have, you know, a world that actually can balance itself out and work itself out and work on its own instead of something that you're trying to work against, like going against the river, literally with toxins and trying to build a toxic environment. Have you ever heard of, Korean natural farming?
I have, yes.
So, and that's something else because you utilize the natural surrounding environment to create your fungal growths to make your teas out of and all of this. Something that people need to realize is to grow food, yes, there's trace minerals in the soil, but really all that the plant needs is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Right.
So that's NPK. It's 3 minerals. The human body needs 104 different minerals in a given day to go through the day, right? To function. And our plants hardly have a handful of them. And understanding that and like having really rich soil and putting it back in, like knowing that and putting all these different things into your soil and creating healthy soil when you do garden and learning about everything that you can learn, which is you learn more every year, but there's companion planting and pest prevention and biodynamics and a lot of things that you can touch on that what do you like? I'm sure you've interviewed different people on biodynamics.
Yeah, right? Actually, I had the barefoot farmer on from Texas. He's a biodynamic, Jeff Poppin. was his name. We talked all about biodynamic farming and how he sets up his farm and why they do some of the biodynamic preparations, like putting chamomile in a stag's bladder, I think it is, and hanging it up on a tree for, you know, 12 months in a specific alignment of the stars and everything, or filling a skull with other different plants and stuff. And oh, sorry, the yeah, skull and cow horns with cow poo, and then you get that beautiful humus and stuff. So I've talked a bit about biodynamics. I've recently been looking to implement feng shui into my garden. I picked up this book for like $3, Feng Shui for Gardens. And yeah, I mean, just another, you know, modality like permaculture, biodynamics, Korean farming. And I think, you know, at least for me, you know, I would kind of say, you know, I'm into hermetics. So I love to take all of those, take the permaculture, take the biodynamics, take the Korean farming, take the feng shui, and try and integrate it into one cohesive system that can yield, you know, much more from nature. But while I'm ranting, there's three things I want to throw out here that are very beneficial to anyone's garden. You mentioned pests. We talked about birds. Birds would probably be the primary pesticide or insecticide, right? If you can create habitats for birds in your environment, they're going to eat the caterpillars, they're going to eat the things that are eating your plants. So you don't even have to think about buying anything externally, like, you know, other nutrients and things. But if you can create habitats for the lizards, for the bigger, the skinks, and at least here we have the blue tongue lizards, which, right, the smaller lizard would eat the snail eggs. But if the snails become bigger snails, then we create a habitat for the blue tongue lizards, which will eat the fully grown snails. And so we, you know, kind of make our way out into all these other animals that act as pesticides. So just by orienting, you know, your garden in a way that provides habitats for birds and that, you're already ahead of yourself with the insecticide and pesticide part of thing. The other two things I wanted to mention, and this one I think people will completely look over, is the actual shape of the garden beds and how the shape of the garden bed can influence the growth of the plant. So I interviewed two amazing architects, Lydia and Arturo Lidion, from Greece, I believe they are. And they did a study where they found, you know, a plant was getting, you know, attacked by some sort of insect or some sort of, you know, fungus. They found when they took the bed from a square rectangle garden bed and encapsulated it within a circle or something else, they changed the shape of the garden bed, the problem with the plant went away. So it was almost like the shape of the garden bed itself, the geometry, was causing stress on the plant. Now, you could get into biogeometry and Ibrahim Karim's work, and he's proven this, that the rectangular houses that we encapsulate ourselves in push us more into our left brain. It's actually stressful on the mind. This is why kids have so much anxiety and stuff, just from being encapsulated in these very linear square, you know, buildings. And to intertwine feng shui into this, when they look at squares and rectangles, they see that energy gets trapped in the corners of that. So again, you have more stress being accumulated just due to the shape of, you know, what you're encapsulating yourself within. And so another thing on top of that, that I learned from another guest, which was Atom Bergstrom, and we were talking about color therapy. And he was talking about how they did studies where they put a blue tarp, or they put colored tarps, you know, 2 feet, 2 meters below the ground, right, underneath the garden. And they found that the foods began to produce more chemicals that were in alignment with that color. So if you had a blue tarp under the garden bed, you'd have more, you know, chemicals that are associated with blue. You know how when you get into what's the word I'm looking for, like carotenoids and all these different plant chemicals that are associated with the color of them. you know, they just found by putting colored tarps under
the infrared spectrum.
Yeah. So they found, you know, when they put tarps underneath, that it actually increased the nutrient density of the plants through the color spectrum. So that's my rant on a few interesting things that people can integrate into their home and their garden.
That's fascinating. And definitely feng shui and energy flow, stagnant energy is real thing. And I encourage people to throw in pollinators in their garden, sunflowers. Yeah. Sunflowers are nitrogen fixers. They bring so much to the garden along with this big infrared spectrum that the pollinators come for them. And it gives so much to everything. Also, like, I've learned that there's dry farming. So you can grow potatoes. You hardly even need to water them, which is amazing. So that's something,
thing, right? Is like water quality. Because most people water their plants with tap water, you know, but what if we watered plants with structured water? You know, it's a whole different ball game. Like the difference that you see with experiments of regular tap water compared to structured, coherent H3O2 water. I mean, the plants are like 10 times healthier. It's amazing with just the change in water quality.
Yeah, back to a disconnect where they don't even want us to understand. If the food was souped up, and we knew it, and we had a balance, and we knew what role we played in it, and we knew where it came from, and what it was we were actually ingesting, and what the differences were. Have you heard of Anastasia? She talks about, it's a series of books, but she talks about putting the seeds in her mouth.
Right.
And that the seeds would then grow those nutrients that we're deficient in,
right,
as like a full-on balance, you know? But we don't live that life. I didn't even know how pineapples grew. I thought they came out of trees, dude. I didn't even know my whole life. I had no idea until I looked it up myself, back to a complete and total disconnect from food to source, and not even knowing that what seeds do or even having a garden. Even what's been really weird is the chemtrails come in every weekend, and we've been having rain like 6 weekends in a row. People are thinking that they're preventing the small farmer from putting a garden in. People have been talking about it locally. I don't know if that's like a thing, like the psychological warfare, just like to keep people from having that and to dismantle the food supply a little bit there, but something's happening. We don't get our weekends anymore. It's just chemtrail storms whipping through. But on the weekdays, there's been really nice.
Yeah, that's interesting. We've only been getting the residues lately. Like, it feels like we only get, because I don't see any planes around here, but there's definitely chemtrails that are coming down from the coast or somewhere else. So we're getting the residues. But thankfully, the weather has actually been amazing. It's been a beautiful winter so far. But we'll wait until wait and see what comes next. There's so much within gardening. I mean, I'm just even thinking about like the fact that two things, bees and plants being influenced by non-native electromagnetic radiation. Many people don't realize, you know, that their Wi-Fi routers and their phones and that are decreasing the growth of plants and frying the bees. I mean, bees are amazing. We could talk about bees for hours in and of themselves, but, you know, they find their way based on like magnetism. And so they almost have like this magnetic connection to their home base. And that's like how they kind of navigate their way around and find their way back home. And, you know, non-native electromagnetic radiation completely wipes out that connection. You know, I see so many bees like dead or that just look lost and exhausted. One, they're probably dehydrated as well because no one puts water out for anything, let alone the birds. And bees drink so much water. I don't know if you've seen how much water bees drink, but those motherfuckers drink so much water. So yeah, I mean, just another couple of things for people to be mindful of, to reconnect, you know, to turn your shit off at night. We don't need Wi-Fi routers on and, you know, all this non-native EMF bouncing around. Like, the poor animals and Poor plants aren't even sleeping and rejuvenating, let alone the birds and the insects and the bees. And you got artificial light as well, which I, man, if there's one thing that really stresses me out and makes me want to go, makes me want to rage, it's artificial light. I cannot wrap my head around how people are so insensitive to artificial light that when it's nighttime, they literally sit under these big incandescent or fluorescent light bulbs that are just like flickering and frying their skin, and they have no idea every night. I'm like, it's just wild to me. So I'm just ranting at this point.
No, I got blackout curtains, and I've got I've got to dismantle the light pollution in my life as well. And I can't believe how people are not like seeing that as a problem. It's like it's the light is very important, and it stresses the humans, stresses the plant. Like when you start to learn of like the photo cycle of plants, like they're very light sensitive. And if you mess that up, if you're growing plants inside or anything or whatever, you see how sensitive they are. And then once you start to learn how sensitive we are, you don't want to like be blasting yourself with like your light off your telephone right before you go to bed, let alone have a street lamp on all night long.
Yeah.
And that stuff. Something else to talk about briefly is the dwindling seed variety.
Yes.
There's so many different varieties of different corns and all this, but they're slipping away because of the monocropping and monoculture. And I mean, every year we lose varieties of plants, like species, basically. I mean, essentially. So it's not really species, it's a variety. It's a type of a subset. But either way, it's important for us to collect seeds. It's something else. The movie Botany of Desire got me pretty inspired learning about it all. Grafting is something else. Yeah. The fact that when you have an apple and that apple has got this unique genetic difference than most plants, because you take seed out of the apple and that won't grow what that apple is. That'll grow something completely random. It's fascinating. Wow. So when Johnny Appleseed was going around supposedly planting seeds, he was just giving people the ability to grow these like crappy apples to make cider. He was a booze guy, and cider was a big deal because the water was tainted a lot in the original colonies in the US, and people like to get drunk, especially. So cider became happening, and not until a random cider tree was sweet did people realize, oh man, we can do something with this. But then they tried to plant those seeds from that sweet tree and the seeds don't work. So they invented this splicing technique, grafting. It's so fascinating. Grafting is an amazing science in and of itself. There's citrus trees, that any type of citrus tree you can graft together. So you can get a tree that's lemon, orange, lime. But you can also get a tree that's got all the different citrus on it, like 30 different types.
It's like a fruit salad tree or something they're known as. Yeah.
Something else. So learning about grafting and learning about how apple trees exist and what they are, and saving different seeds, even saving the seeds from your acorn squash and stuff like that. It's important to honor that, show the youth the cycle and what it does, and the power of the seed, not just metaphoric, but that actual seed. It's got so much in it. And one more thing about plants and the study thereof and natural lighting and natural people and all that stuff is Damanhur. You ever research or talk to anybody from there? There's inside of these Italian Alp mountains, there's a underground sustainable community with like permaculture up in the upside on top of the mountain. But in the mountain is Damanhur, Damanhur, Damanhur. And it's like a wonder of the world. The story is that the boogeyman was sent to destroy it, and they came out crying and wouldn't, because it's like the inside is something else. It's like a renaissance, like a modern day renaissance. And part of their research is plants So it's like some of these cathedrals, it's just amazing what they did inside this mountain and made this internal pod community, a little utopia with their own currency and all this. It's something else. If you can find someone to interview from there, that'd be really cool. So inside of there, like they have the hall of metal and it's like iron workers and it's just unreal. And they have these different halls and one of them focuses on the study of plants and these plants are on wheels. Okay. And the wheels are in planter box, little planters, and the plant has in the soil with its roots, these electrodes, and the electrodes are designed that the intelligence of the plant can move itself. So it moves itself on wheels to follow where the sunlight is hitting in the room. And it's really awesome. And also they put the electrodes in and listen to the plant sing and have the plant singing under different circumstances and studying the singing of plants. So that community, like really honoring it all. Yeah, you'd be shocked what when you let the plants like just grow and you pull some weeds, but you let the balance do itself. Like weeds bring bugs, dandelions and stuff like these things, like just let them be amongst it. It brings this natural everything. And lastly, or whatever, one thing that I've noticed about farming is what you put in, you get back, but you have to be patient and really comprehend what you're working with. So you till in the sunflowers from last year, you put in this organic fertilizer and bunny poop and chicken poo. You know, chicken poo is really nitrogen rich, but it takes a while to break down. Same with the bunny poo. It's amazing, but it takes a while. So you're investing in the next year. So you wait a full year to get your soil and there it is. Also, if you have a feral field, there's this technique where you can just go and put a big tarp over it. Just lay a huge tarp over a field of grass and let that stuff compost and get warm under there slowly but surely over a season. And then till it in and all those bugs and all that stuff. And you've got this, it's ready to go. So there's different awesome techniques, but anybody can be a farmer and everyone should learn how, because we're entering into a day and age where not just food security, but being grounded and connected to it all. One thing I think is really cool about biodynamics is you can do a star map of where the stars will be, the planets will be during the time that this thing is going to be harvested, whatever the plant is, and then map out your garden like that. So the plants are pulling into that astrology the same and reaching for the stars and the sun cycles and stuff like that. You can incorporate the astrology and astronomy into all of it with the feng shui, all these different principles to be the best farmer you can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, it's essential. I think like we're in such strange times. So I don't really think we have a choice. I mean, it's either, you know, you support local farmers, become your own farmer, or you continue to eat fake food and create a fake self and be an immoral person because you're building yourself out of lifeless things and all of that. But you mentioned, weeds. I think it's Philip Callahan. Is he the guy who says that the weeds are the farmer's report card?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like based on what your weeds, you can tell a lot by, you know, the quality of your soil just by what's popping up. Because like you said, usually they're there to, you know, they're almost like healing responses. Like we call sickness and that, and we have symptoms within our physiology. But it's almost like weeds are kind of playing the same role, right? It's a message. It's a communication from nature about what's going on in the environment. But here we are, like we do with modern medicine, you know, just masking them or just doing surgery and pulling them out of the ground or, you know, whatever, however that applies in the human body as well. We just completely miss the whole point, you know, of these, of these messengers from nature. You also bring up a very important point that plants are clearly sentient and alive and conscious and have personalities themselves. They're family, you know, it's not just the psychedelic ones, you know, every single plant is conscious and sentient in my opinion. And we need to get back to engaging with them as that and not just some lifeless piece of, you know, material that's growing out of a ground. And is there for me to exploit at my fullest? Like, no, we got to have a relationship with our friends and families that is the plant kingdom. And yeah, we're just so disconnected from that. Same with the stones. We think stones are just, you know, balls of matter. That's it. It's like, no, like everything is sentient, conscious, and working with us. And we just, we're so blind to that.
Indeed. I think it's important for people to grasp that farming, when you're blasting it with chemicals, you're not comprehending the natural environment, but it's the monocropping that is one of the biggest farmers like issues. And I worked on an organic farm. We grew 12 different types of potatoes, and like two types had problems. They didn't yield very well because of blight, which is like a mold fungal thing or whatever. And that was it. It's like, because there's different plant varieties, if you grow a bunch of different varieties, maybe a pest or something will get to one, but they're not going to know how to attack each and every type, or each and every type is not going to be vulnerable. And by doing so, you cover your bases by managing your risks. Like, it's a risk management thing. Instead of growing all one variety, you honor these heirloom strains. And like, you can, I think, but people don't understand how easy it is to become a farmer. Like, the farmer's market booth is like dirt cheap, and then you just set up, and the abundance of it all, you can grow vertical farming. Yep. Of potatoes. And in just like a few square meters, you can grow enough potatoes or root vegetables in general, like smart pots, root vegetables. There's easy farming techniques that you can do in limited spaces.
You could do it on an apartment or something, you know?
Yeah, but they want us to think that we're overpopulated. We need the GMO. We need to be in smart cities. We need to be completely disconnected from the metaverse and plugged in. But it's not the way that the real world is, that there's actually a solution to every little thing. One of the main reasons I brought up the cannabis is that it blew my mind that there's only these limited problems, and each problem, basically health and creativity and the natural world. Like, for every like mite, there's a ladybug or something that could totally eat it, as long as you have like this non-sterile environment. So stop treating nature like you're treating a freaking surgery room where you're trying to kill every single thing out there. Like how they treat the body with antibiotics. It's like, antibiotics are the dumbest thing ever. You kill everything off and you're like, oh yeah, don't worry, we got it. It's like, what'd you get? I don't know. We just napalmed your ass.
Yeah, yeah. I just threw a grenade inside of you and killed off both pathogenic and beneficial. Everyone died, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not addressing the issue, and nature does. Nature finds its way and finds a balance. And the thing about what Callahan said when you said about the weeds is, he can look at a field, and if it's only got like a certain weed that can only grow in toxic circumstances, it's like, yeah, your soil is crap, man. You can't grow anything on there. Look, this thing is growing, nothing else. But the plant diversity and the health of other things can give life to and show. And you can do that. You can keep things pretty tight by just doing what's called rotation crop farming. And so you rotate your crops, and you don't just like work your soil and not know what you're doing. And in the off season, you can plant certain things that balance it out. And it's actually not that hard. People make you think it's completely impossible and want you to be so disconnected that you have to Grubhub everything. Yeah. It's like an order for delivery service out here.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's not the real world.
Now, a lot of it's intuitive too. I mean, you know, we get too caught in our heads and overthinking things, but it's really not that difficult if you can, you know, walk hand in hand with nature. Again, swim with the stream rather than against it. I think another good solution to our soil problem worldwide on the planet is probably using scalar energy tech, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had Tom Palladino on the podcast, and he talks about, you know, using his technology. He puts photographs of people into the technology, and like the scalar energy is emitted that way. We can do the same thing with photos of the land and photos of the planet itself. So I think that could be another amazing, just, you know, apart from the quality of water and, you know, the shapes and geometry and other things that we apply to our garden, scalar energy can be another amazing modality, I think.
Indeed. And I've heard of people working with that. And also there's teas. People make teas.
Yes.
That are just like full of
tea, weed teas, herbal teas.
Yeah. They make these different teas that are just full of all these living microorganisms. They dump, put them in the soil. You can lay layers of compost and hay on your soil, and there's amazing results. Like letting nature do its work is the best thing. And that's what Korean natural farming, it shows you that you get these funguses and stuff growing, that your soil can become a whole network, like a mycelium, where it's intelligent. And in that, roots love to grow, and all of the information is transferred and the nutrients are transferred. And it's like the most premium that you can get if you do it right.
Yeah, that mycelium is so important. It's like the internet connection of Mother Earth that connects everything, the communication, and, you know, because the plants are sending signals out vibrationally, but also through that mycelium network, they're sending messages and communication with the microbes and that whole symbiotic, beautiful world that's going on underneath the soil. But, you know, another thing to help that whole soil food web and ecology and everything is biochar. You know, biochar can be incredible. And basically what it is, it's like little houses or apartment buildings for all the microbes and stuff to live within. So you're just creating more habitats for microbes to thrive and to live within. And obviously the microbes are what allow the plants to extract nutrients, right? There's this exchange from the microbe. We get the sugars from the plant, deliver the plant the minerals and whatever else they've broken down from rocks and things in the soil. So if we can improve the earth's biome, you know, that's also a big pathway, like it is within the human body. Kind of, you know, microcosm, macrocosm, a lot of the things that we talk about here can be applied vice versa with the human body and the earth itself.
Indeed. So I think that anybody can either improve on their garden or make a garden or create a little planter box, or even just a pot of basil on the counter,
yeah.
Learning about the power of herbs.
And just putting like out some little water for the birds and the bees as well.
Having water out is huge. The birds are especially in need. I've noticed when I fill up my bird bath, you know, they're on it. It's like every little bit helps. Yeah. And the pollinator gardens, I think they're super important, especially for the bees and stuff. Yeah. And we need not, you know, worry about poisoning the mosquitoes. And, oh, man, I just saw this, all these different propaganda things coming out recently that, like, evidently we've kicked ourselves in the foot, because by killing off the mosquitoes, they're not biting us as much. And therefore, we're not getting this mosquito saliva that causes a coagulant thing in our blood. So because we don't have this mosquito saliva, there's no blood clot, like people are getting blood clots.
Did you know, like, did you know mosquitoes, as much as we you know, people can despise them, when they lay their eggs in water, they clean the water, they purify the water before they lay their eggs. So they actually have we get rid of the mosquitoes, a lot of the bodies of water would not be clean, because they're cleaning it so they can actually lay their eggs in it. So, like, again, the disconnection, right? We think just by getting rid of one thing, we've solved the problem. But no, they play a very important role in the environment.
Yeah, everything has a balancing act, of course.
And
when man gets involved, it's usually just a mess in general. I think an herb garden that can be very grounding. You know, rosemary plants, and just learning like what grows in your neighborhood, what can you have? Yeah, what can you have on your windowsill, and find your balance? Because, like, you can literally meditate with a plant and, like, tune into the vibration of just, I know it sounds crazy, but just a plant in your life can do a lot. So I encourage people to try it out every little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Chilling with my plants. What was I going to mention? I was going to, blanking on it. Forgot. Yeah. So, I just want to throw a recommendation out there to go native. Like, It just makes so much sense, especially here in Australia. We have an amazing variety of native plants that thrive in these conditions. I see so many people battling their gardens because they've got all these, you know, plants from overseas that are not adapted to this environment. They're like, why isn't my pomegranate tree growing? I'm like, oh, because pomegranates aren't native to Australia. You have to really create the right soil conditions in the right environment, specifically coordinated to that plant, you know, kind of what it's used to in its environment. But going native can be an easy way to grow your garden because the plants just already adapted to this environment. It's super easy.
Exactly. And you know, what's everyone else doing? Like what is thriving in at your farmer's market and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the timing's always really important too.
Yeah.
But you live, you learn. And exactly. it's such a nice thing to get your hands in the dirt and get grounded that way and to see what you can do with what you've got. And then slowly you learn things like, okay, I go to the organic grocery store and I get a potato and now I can feed the community with this thing if I figure out how to maneuver it. That's a powerful, empowering ideology that not everyone can grasp, especially children.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, Matt, is there anything, I mean, we could talk about soil and gardening, obviously hours, but anything else you want to mention or any final thoughts, comments you just want to leave with the people?
I think like as the toxins, you know, come from the sky and as we're overloaded with all this stuff and people are like, oh, well, can you even get organic now? Like with all of this and that, like you said, the tap water and, you know, everything. There's all sorts of things we're dealing with. With all of that in mind, it's that much more important to honor what we've got. Honor what you have, like what you got a charcoal filter in your shower to filter the fluoride out. And like you're doing what you can. Like knowledge equals power, kind of. Knowledge plus action equals power. So go stick a potato in the park or some onions. I saw like a renegade onion patch.
Yes.
In this alley the other day. And I was like, somebody did that. Somebody did a renegade onion patch. I found in a live tree, I forget the name of the tree, the type of the tree, but it was like this portion of the tree. Someone had cultivated all this lion's mane. It was amazing. I encourage people to try it out. Like, do what you can. Like, you can do a lot of cool stuff. And I know it's like, oh, I'm farming out in the random world. Like, is it okay? Try it out. See what you can do. I encourage everyone to do something. Stick something in the ground and see what nature can do with it. Because you would be shocked. I found a tomato plant growing in the crack of the sidewalk in a city. I pulled it up and took it to my garden. And it grew like 3 feet tall, this thing. Like the power of life.
Amazing.
So never doubt it and honor it the best you can.
Yeah, I reckon I got probably like 4 or 5 renegade avocado trees out there in the world somewhere from all the past. Because every time I move somewhere, I bring my garden with me, or I make a new garden. And a lot of the times, you know, I just sprouting avocado seeds, because when I throw them into my worm farm, they just sprout because the soil's, you know, really good in there and it's the right conditions. And then I just go plant them out in, like, out in nature, you know, and just throw them in the ground somewhere and just let them grow. So I probably got quite a few avocado trees out there in the world.
I think it's important to plant things not even knowing that they'll benefit you. It's an honor for the next generation. For instance, a fig tree. Fig trees don't even start yielding figs for like 3+ years. So get this like mentality that you're not in this fight or flight, the world's going to end tomorrow or whatever it is, and plant a tree.
Yes.
Honor that. Even if you rent your property, hey landlord, is this cool if I plant this apple tree here? Whatever. Plant the cherry tree. plant it for the next generation. Plant it in the woods.
Exactly.
You know, see what you can do. Because we get in this like mindset where like we think like 1 year or 6 months out, or what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Or are they going to drop a nuke on me? Or what's going to happen next? I don't even know. And are they going to come force an injection in me and blah, 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 alien invasion and asteroids going to hit? And I don't know. We got to get grounded and face the fact that we have to have plants and nature and get back with the program, which once we get there, then we can't get lied to through the metaverse and all that anyways. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm riding along with you there, mate. Let the people know where they can connect with you and anything new going on at the moment. You mentioned you feel like taking a little bit of a break, at least from podcasting. So I think we might see you a little later than usual, but
I'm trying to get focused on Franken's guys too. Right. I met some people recently that could not fathom that the weather was engineered. And I'm like, dude, I got to do work in the real world, man. It's like these people are struggling. So I've got to get this new movie out, but also I got to get out there. And so that's what I'm working on is the people and the next movie.
Great.
And aside from that, myself, I think it's important to get in shape, because we're going to have to fight fires and fight the devil and the man and the new world order. And first we got to fight ourselves, right? Our shadows.
Yes.
So yes. Let's learn how to grow a freaking plant at least.
At least.
I mean, what better thing could we do? Like learn how to troubleshoot growing.
Right. It should be mandatory for people to look after a plant before they have a kid. I'm sorry.
No kidding.
Either get a dog or a puppy or a plant before you have a child. Because I, unfortunately, I see this at least in my own generation with a lot of the people I went to high school with. You know, you have a bunch of 22-year-olds that have done no inner work, probably don't even know they have a shadow, a psychic twin that's lurking behind them and sabotaging them in ways. And then they bring a kid into the world. So you have, you know, fucked up people, you know, raise a fucked up kid, you know, wounded people wound people, hurt people hurt people. These undeveloped people will create undeveloped people. So raise a plant, people, first, please.
Indeed.
Indeed. All right, Matt, as always, it's a pleasure to connect with you and jump into these great topics. I mean, I love gardening, and I'm in the process. Winter here, you know, so it's kind of slow, and I'm in the process of like just dreaming up what I want my garden to look like for spring and getting ready for that period. And well, gardening's gonna be like then. So it's good to jump back into this topic and cook it up with yourself. And I look forward to our next one, whenever that may be. And people, if you enjoyed this, appreciate your likes, your ratings, your reviews, your comments, your feedback. Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or whatever link you want to click in the description. And we'll see y'all on the next episode. Have a beautiful day.